Here in Isaiah 4, I think we have an outline of the tribulation that is yet to come upon Israel and its spiritual intent. Well, chapter 3 has talked about that at the end, about the terrible things that are coming upon the land. In verse 1 here in chapter 4, seven women will take hold of one man in that day, saying, "We'll eat our own bread, wear our own clothes," that is, you don't have to provide for us as a husband has to provide for his wife, "just let us be called by your name." In other words, there's going to be a huge destruction of men, of males, and there's going to be not enough men to get married, and women are going to be unable to have marital life, etc., because there simply aren't the men around. So it's a picture of the tribulation as it was to come. "But in that day," verse 2, "Yahweh's branch will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the beauty and glory of the remnant of Israel." So who's Yahweh's branch? Well, the branch is clearly the Lord Jesus. That's how it is in Isaiah 11, etc., and Jeremiah. So the idea is that that branch is going to have glorious fruit, and that fruit will be the fruit of the land. The fruit that is being looked for, then, is the repentance of some people. Now, I think this could have had a fulfillment at the time of Hezekiah and the Assyrian invasion, but there wasn't that repentance. Hezekiah himself turned away, it seems to me, and it could have happened at the return from the exile. Zerubbabel, the branch from Babylon, I think could have been a fulfillment of these prophecies about the branch, but he also messed up and we don't hear any more about him, and secular history says that he returned, in fact, to Persia and preferred the soft life there. Remember when Jesus came to the fig tree and he wanted to see at least something there? He was hungry, he was desperate for at least some bit of immature fruit, although it wasn't the time of fruit. But he saw only leaves, and yet behind them there was no fruit. And so he uses that image when he says that when there is fruit on the fig tree, that generation will not pass away until he's returned. So then, I think that there has to be a rising out of the tribulation of the last days, the repentance of some in Israel, and thereby the branch of Yahweh, that is Jesus, becomes glorious because of the glorious fruit, the fruit of the earth, as it's called here, that appears upon him. So I think that's also why you cannot work out a specific chronology of events around the time of the Lord's coming, because repentance is a matter of free will. When Israel repent, or at least when there is at least some immature fruit upon the fig tree, when a remnant has repented, then the Lord will come. And God is not going to force that. God will not force people to repent. His prophecies are not determinate, as it were, in the sense that they force people to act. He works with people, and he will never force people. He's not a magician. He's not a manipulator of people as if they are puppets. He respects human free will beyond that. And that's why you can't construct that chronology. Whenever you think you have, you think, oh, what about this passage? Oh, that doesn't fit in. How's that going to happen? Well, yes, because there are various possible outcomes depending upon how quickly that remnant repent. And I would certainly urge us to do all we can to be appealing to at least a remnant of God's people and people living within Israel to repent and be baptized, that we might hasten the coming. So verse 3, "It will happen that he who is left in Zion and he who remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, will be made holy, will be sanctified, even everyone who is written among the living or in the book of life in Jerusalem." So the remnant that is left, as the Septuagint says in verse 3, are going to just be a remnant. I think you could reason from here and from Zechariah that, in fact, the majority of Jews in the land are killed, but a remnant repents. Zechariah 13, a third part, maybe just meaning a remnant, will pass through the fire and will call upon my name. Verse 4, "When the Lord will have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from its midst by the spirit of justice and by the spirit of burning. So, the intention of the tribulation is to purge Judah with this spirit or wind of burning. It's God who's going to wash them, and yet they have to wash themselves. This is the appeal in Isaiah 1, verse 16, to wash themselves, to show justice to others, and then God will purge them. He will wash them. Well, the spirit of burning, the Hebrew word translated burning, is also translated to put away. It's used about putting away the guilt of innocent blood in Deuteronomy 29. So I think that the repentance of this remnant involves the recognition that they have slain the innocent blood. They repent of having killed Jesus. This is the day, Malachi 4, that burns, same word, that burns as an oven. And all that is going to happen in Israel is to purge them spiritually. Now, therefore, the sort of right-wing Protestant idea that the state of Israel as it now is going to last forever, and the Israeli Defense Force is sort of from God, and it's all wonderful, it's all fantastic. No, all that is pride, and all that is going to have to be humbled, and eventually the beast of the nations around Israel is going to close its mouth upon them. Sooner or later, that will happen. Israel can keep playing for time only so long. And then, verse 5, Yahweh will create over the whole habitation of Mount Zion a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And over all that glory will be a canopy. The idea is that God himself comes to live in Zion, that the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud that led Israel through the wilderness now, as it were, comes to a final stop, and the kingdom of God is established. So, verse 6, there will be a pavilion for the shade in the daytime from the heat, and for the refuge and for the shelter for all these people. So this is the picture at the end of Ezekiel 48, Yahweh Shammah, Yahweh is there, that finally the kingdom of God is established on earth. So I think that that is the outcome that we should be looking at. There is going to be a tribulation of Israel. Zechariah is quite clear, Jerusalem will fall, and some will go into captivity, women raped in the streets, etc. This is what's going to happen. And no amount of godless, secular, Israeli, American strength is going to stop that. Now, at the moment, the reason it doesn't happen is because the West, America particularly, are upholding Israel. And that ultimately is going to have to go. How that will go, I don't know. Economic collapse in America, anti-Israel forces taking power, I don't know, climate disaster, natural disaster that means that pro-Israel Western powers have no money anyway to support the whole thing out there anymore. Who knows? The tide of human history is already moving against the West, and I think it's inevitable, it's unstoppable, it's just time and tide, and on a sort of human level. However it's going to work out, Zion, as the prophet says, shall be forsaken of all her lovers. And finally, there has to come this terrible tribulation throughout the land of Israel, which Revelation speaks about and so many of the prophets speak about. But the intention of this is the repentance of Israel.